We'll be a few moments encouraging the students. Brother Tommy says something that was very important. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. And so I want to go over a few scriptures with you just to encourage the class. I went over one, Jeremiah 29:11. God was talking to Jeremiah, said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. The second one I went to is Isaiah 1:18, where it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, sins just mean actions. Though your actions be as scarlet or going the wrong direction, they shall be white as snow or pure and going in the right direction. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. That's after your thoughts have commingled with God. Third is Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 4. It says, according as he has chosen us, listen to this, chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want you to see this very clearly. It says that he chose us in him, us, chose us in him when? Before the foundations of the world. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I read those four scriptures because I want to make this statement to you, and I don't want to be a common statement because you might have heard this statement before or you may have heard it preached before, but I want you to hear this statement because I've just given you four scriptures that's about to prove what I'm saying to you. We see this statement comes from the book of Esther. We don't have to turn there for the sake of time. But Mordecai was talking to Esther, and he told Esther, he said, Esther, you can hold your peace. You don't have to say anything. Deliverance is going to come from somewhere else. But how do you know that you were not born for such a time as this? I want to let you know that you were born for this day and age. God never makes any mistakes. You were born in the right decade. You were born in the right century. You were born at the right time so that you can make an effect on people around you in this lifetime. So many people live their lives insignificantly. And the reason why they live their lives insignificantly is because they never discover their being. They never discover who they are. They're always trying to get approval for somebody else about who they should be. But I'm here to tell you tonight, class, that you have to have a continuous process of discovering your being. You must receive your identity from God the Father. We just read four scriptures. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, come, let us reason together so that your actions, what you thought you were going to do, can be rearranged to do what I've ordained and destined you to do. Then he said, he wants to will through us to do his good pleasure. And before the foundations of the earth, before the foundations, he chose us in him. So you don't have to go no further. You don't have to try to wonder. You don't have to try to figure this out. I know why you were born. You were born to fulfill the kingdom of God. That's why you are here. Everybody who tries to fulfill anything else will live a life unfruitful, will live a life unfulfilled, and will live a life never discovering who they really are. You must always be in pursuit of who you are. So if I'm going to always be in pursuit of who I am, there's only one person that knows who I really am. So if I'm always in pursuit of him, I'll be always in pursuit of who I am. Jesus always knew and still knows who he was and is. He received his identity from the Father. Listen, don't ever worry about accomplishments. Accomplishments always come from being. Being has to come before accomplishment. That's why you cannot, listen to me very clearly, class. Don't go follow anybody because of what they have. Only use what they have to find out if they have the correct being. Soon as you find out what they have, if that's what you want, immediately begin to look for their being, their character, how they live. Are they real? Do they have integrity? Yeah. Do they have honor? Yeah. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, those who are familiar with the Bible knows that Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. At that moment, Jesus, on purpose, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. On purpose, he weakened his flesh so that when Satan came to meet him, flesh would have nothing to do with what he about to deal with Satan. He became transparent. Other words, Satan was able to see clean through him. He had him physically. He was hungry. He was tired. But what he did not have Jesus' being. He did not have his will. So Jesus was able to stand and face the enemy in his being. And Abel, because he received his identity from the Father, he said, I am the Son of God. Yeah. They got mad at him for saying that. Right. Yeah, right. But because he accepted his identity, he was able to face the enemy. And I'm telling you something that's important. Why Jesus had to face Satan in a fleshly weakened state, just being on being. It was nothing but Jesus being against Satan being. The reason why Jesus had to do that is because the only thing that Satan is after is from you not discovering who you are. That is the only reason for deception. The only reason for deception is to get you to believe you're somebody that you're not. Students, never allow Satan to give you any kind of counterfeit. He will send attacks. He will send challenges. But you must face those challenges. You must face those attacks in your being. One of the greatest fallacies that we as Christians have is that Eden covered the whole earth. And so we're looking for a great utopia. But Eden was actually a case study. It was a case study for God. God said, let me make these people. Let me breathe myself into them. Let me make them like I am so they have dominion. Make them like me, your being. Let me make them like me. Then I'm going to train them how to walk like me. And then I'm going to release them in out of darkness. See, Adam and Eve was always destined to go into the outer darkness. But the problem is they left too early, deceived about who they were. Do not let Satan deceive you. Do not let Satan throw any kind of counterfeit at you that you would not be able to discover who you are. Now, watch this. In I think it's Matthew 17 chapter. Here's the thing. Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? They begin to say, some say thou art Isaiah. Some say Elijah. Some say this prophet. Some say that prophet. But Jesus turned around and said, who do you say that I am? Now, watch this. Jesus said that Peter, by revelation knowledge, told Jesus, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, sure enough, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. See, Jesus already knew his identity. So he was, watch this. He was easily able to recognize when somebody else recognized his identity. He didn't walk around trying to get people to tell him his identity. He was easily able to recognize confirmation because he received his identity from his Father. Now watch this. Peter had just told Jesus, his identity. Jesus said, Peter, nobody told you this but God. Why? Because Jesus knew who he was because God revealed him who he was. I'm the Father, I'm the Son, I'm the Holy Ghost. They were all one, right? No more than two breaths later. Once Jesus recognized that they recognized who he was, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him and what has to happen to him for him to fulfill the will of the Father. The same person that just had told him who he was. Now, based on their Jewish background, if you know he the Messiah, then you know what the scrolls have been saying the Messiah is supposed to do. But Peter came and said, Jesus, no. This not going down like this. Notice what Jesus did. Jesus said, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan. Listen to me. Satan is not going to use unfamiliar folks to deceive you from who you really are. Satan is going to use people that you are familiar with. Always remember that. Not that you're going to have to watch everybody around you, because some people just going to flow with you. But there are some people that will be close around you that Satan will use. Sometimes, watch this, sometimes they have good intentions. Sometimes they have your best interest at their heart. Notice what I said. Their heart. Some of them will proceed what they're about to tell you with, you know I love you. But if they cannot confirm what God has already told you, that is the enemy trying to deceive you. Secondly, students, as you begin to begin your next level of maturity, you have a foundation, but now you have to keep going further to mature. As you're doing that, I want you to understand that your being will not make you famous. So you really can't follow too many ministries nowadays, because sometimes fame comes before being. How I know? Because there's too much sin in the pulpit. So that's why I told you, don't always pay attention to what a person has before you find out who they are. Sometimes the two will coincide. Sometimes being will lead to notoriety. But notoriety does not control being. Listen, when Jesus went around, the Bible says his fame grew throughout the region. That was because of what he could do. But Jesus came to a point in his ministry where he went to a certain city and could do no mighty works but heal a few sick folk. But Jesus did not let that affect his being. The Bible says he began to teach the people. He began to be who he was. He didn't let the works that didn't come to pass stop him from being. He began to be who he was so he can educate the people to receive who he was. Are you seeing this? So you cannot allow notoriety to interrupt your being. Because watch this. It wasn't the notoriety that got Jesus about the grave. Because nobody went to the grave. Nobody was at the grave. Only one person came to check on Jesus at the grave. That was Mary. Mary Magdalene. Everybody else was running scared. Because Jesus was being. Don't always expect to be loved, to be well received when you're being. Some people will dislike you because of who you are. Some people will be indifferent to who you are, but don't let that stop you from being. Because when you're in your situation, when you're facing that challenge that Satan's trying to bring in your life, you, notoriety ain't gonna get you out. It is you knowing who you are, who you belong to, and who your father is. That's what's gonna get you out. Finally, I want to rearrange a statement that we usually say. We usually say God placed somebody in my life to help mold me and to help shape me. We've said that before, but I want to rearrange that statement. God will place you in the life of somebody that will arrange you and will mold you. There's a difference. There's a difference. Because when God takes you and puts you in the life of somebody else who can mold you and shape you, that means that person had it going on before you got there. So that means when God places me in their life, there are some things that God wants to shape in my life. God wants to mold in my life. There are some things in me that I can't pull out on my own. It's going to take somebody who God has assigned to pull it out of me. Once again, listen to me very clearly. Once again, class, listen to me very clearly. Who you are can only come from the Father. But God will always use a man or woman to shape who you are. Jesus shaped the disciples. Paul shaped Timothy. Really, all Jesus was really doing to the disciples was really teaching them about who they really were. All Paul was doing was teaching Timothy who he really was. All Elijah did was teach Elijah who he really was. Listen to me. Your being, watch this, your being is so important. Most people don't even realize this. And Brother Tommy kept talking about connection. Connection helps development. Connection causes growth. Most people don't even realize that most of Elisha's ministry wasn't told to him directly. God told Elijah to do three things. Talking about being. God told Elijah to do three things. The thing he told him to go anoint two kings. Then he told him to go find Elisha and anoint him to follow you. Elijah only did one of those things. God told him three things to do, but he only did one. Guess who did the other two? Elisha. Elisha was the one to go anoint those two kings. What's my point for that? God, watch this. Your identity comes from God, but the shaping of that identity will come from man. This is why it's important that you not look at what somebody has to figure out who's going to shape you. You must always look at their being. You must always look at how, and see, watch this. You say, well, I can't get close enough to the person. The only reason why you can't get close to a person is because you don't hang around on earth. I will have been married for 19 years. This next few weeks, and I remember when I was dating Chantel, I wanted to know her. So I would spend time. I would go over to her parents' house. I would go over, and sometimes Mr. Bloom would say, "Son, you don't think you're here too late?" I get home, I drive home, I go get on the phone, I'm calling her right back, and I get on the phone. Next thing you know, we on the phone, wake up, the phone buzzing, because we both don't. So I begin to know her. See, most people, watch this, most people want to know their identity, but don't want to stay with God. Don't want to get close to God. Don't want to spend time with God. Just don't want to spend quality time with God. When you spend quality time with God, you will discover who you are. Don't let anybody deter from you being who you are. And once again, I'm going to say this, I'm closing. Never let notoriety override your being. Never let notoriety override your being. You want to be, then do. You don't want to just do and then can't back it up. You want to be first, then do. Class, congratulations to you. It's been a pleasure of mine to teach you for the past 2 years. Once again, I can't reiterate it enough. Brother Tommy said it enough, said it over and over, and I can't reiterate it enough. Do not disconnect. Do not walk away. Do not allow the enemy to come give you a counterfeit. If God is speaking to you, has been speaking to you the past 2 years, God will continue to speak to you for the next 50 years, next 60 years. However you want long you want God to talk to you, God will talk to you, but you have to stay connected to where he's planted you. Again, congratulations to you. I hope you enjoy the night. I'm excited for you receiving your diplomas. Everybody give them a hand.
Will the class stand up at this point? My spiritual father went home to be with the Lord some years ago. I followed him real closely. That's what you have to do. I hear everyone telling you to stay connected. We began a journey in this ministry that I see many things about to happen. You have the opportunity to stay connected. I heard him give charges many times as a prophet to ministers. And so I took upon some of the things he said. I could hear his voice now say, the word of God says in the 13th chapter of the Act of the Apostle, in the first and second verse, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. It goes on to list the name of five men. It began with Barnabas and ended with Saul. And the second verse says, very important, and as they ministered to the Lord and fast, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Ghost said. You're going to have to be aware of what the Holy Ghost is saying. If you're going to operate and function in ministry properly, he knows it. The Holy Ghost knows ministry. And he knows the mind of God. In one sense of the word, that what we are doing this evening, we are giving a charge to these graduates to go forth and to continue to fulfill the call of God that is on their lives. The Bible goes on to say that they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed. Amen. Praise God. Now they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, and then they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now I want all of you graduates to remain standing here. I don't know any better way to give you a word or a charge then just simply take the word of God. And that's what my dad would do all the time. He'd take the word of God. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul training Timothy for ministry. Actually, Timothy became a young pastor. Someone correct me if I, on one area, he had to turn Timothy back because he wasn't following protocol. And sometime in training, you'll be turned back. If someone really loves you, they're going to train you properly. And so he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and I'm saying it to you tonight. Now, therefore, my son or daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, we live in this scripture now. I'm saying this to you. Paul was saying it to Timothy. But tonight, I'm saying it to you. I've laid a life down that I'm not ashamed of that you can follow. All right? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearance in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season when they don't want to hear you, and out of season. Don't preach a sugar-coated gospel. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come is here. The time I'm about to read about is here right now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Y'all hear me, don't you? But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Suppose the doctor tell you what you want to hear. And don't tell you you got to take 3 tablets a day. Huh? Itching ears. What kind of ears are those? Huh? As ears that want to hear what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's a kind word. They're lies. What it really means. But wise thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so let's pray now. Father, in a few moments, we'll be releasing these graduates to go out to fulfill the things you have placed in their hearts. May this not just be a form of service, but may it be a time of heart searching and consecration and dedication and commitment to you, Father, and unto your divine call. We invoke thy blessing upon each and every one of them as we send this class of 2017 forth. We pray this general prayer in advance that whatever gift of the Spirit, endowment, inducement of power of the Holy Ghost will be imparted unto each one of them so that each and every one may be enabled by the power of God to stand in whatever place that you would have them to stand and serve in. And we will give you all the praise, honor, and glory forever that is wrought among us and in our midst, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And congratulations to you.
Class of 2017, may turn your tassels. Let's give them a hand. The graduating class of 2017.
This is tremendous, isn't it? Yes. You wonder the largest class that we graduated. I think Junior have said that we're 2 from, how many? 1,000 graduating from this school. We've had some good students come to this school, and we're so thankful for you and happy for you. And I'm just going to give you a short word. I want you to remain standing. Everybody can remain standing because I'm not going to be in a few minutes. I was reading. I read extensively. I probably read thousands of books. Sort of call me a bookworm when it comes down to the things of God. And I know this statement is a statement that had been said, but it's, I was reading on how to channel the power of faith today, how to channel the power of faith. And a two statements was made. One is, expect great things from God. You know, you look in Psalm 62:5, my expectation is from God. Expect it. You can't, your expectation will not bankrupt God. Amen. And then when you expect great things from God, you can attempt great things for God. And he always will balance it out. He'll give you whatever you need. And so that's Mark 14:36 and Mark 9:23. What it tells you is God's possibilities are your possibility. Whatever is possible for God, God, when God told me to start this school, Darryl, nobody knew where Darryl was. Some of the people who live in Darryl know where it was. But he told me he would do it here. He has sent them from the east, the west, the north, and the south. He'll bomb cars, put gas in it. They'd be glad to drive. I got a woman here, got a car, don't have a job, and then got a brand new car. She went in the lodge, just let her have it. That didn't happen before. She said, Pastor, I had no job. They just told me to take it. Brand new car. And then he told me they'd be landing in Baton Rouge and New Orleans and asking and trying to find out where Darryl is. And he told me to open the school. I'm just about through. He told me to open the school not just for the teaching, but you can see the move of the Spirit and know how the Holy Ghost works. Your weakness is the greatest access you have in the Spirit. Your infirmities. Always turn your infirmities into God. You turn your infirmities into God. My God, I didn't want to say all this. When you have reverential fear, weakness, and trembling before the Father and trembling before the Word, you're going to see demonstration of the Spirit and power. If you get big-minded and not humble yourself and let other people determine what's going to happen in your life, you're not going to do much. Second thing is, you always want to operate in the mind of the Spirit. The Word of God is the mind of the Spirit, but it has to be transferred to you by the Holy Ghost. All right? And then the third thing is, you want to know all the time what is the manifested will of God. You want to be in God's will. You want to be in the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit, the mind of God, but you want to know what God will. And lastly, what's so important is my love for God. How much do you love God? If you love God, I see consecration. I see sanctification. I see holiness. I see power. Always ask the Holy Ghost. He already didn't give you the love of God. Always ask him to turn it up. Turn it up. You do that, you'll come out successful. You'll sit with these instructors and myself. You'll sit in the midst of good success. This ministry is marked with good success. And God don't mind all of you having good success. I almost prayed in tongue. Oh my goodness. That's what he sent you to school for. See that when that anointing comes, it's different, isn't it? It's different. See, it just dropped down just now. You know, you can't holler up. You can't holler, you can't holler Hallett. You can't be normal, you know. And to ease the consciousness of those about this money, money just follow me. So just rest your nerve. You know, just rest your nerve. These children wasn't, nobody pumped them about this, about giving or nothing. I'm just trying to help you, you know. Yeah, you need to be help about this. You need to stop getting disturbed about money. You're always trying to get it. Why you get disturbed about it when you see it moving? So I'm just trying to help you a little bit. That's all. I love you. And I'm trying to show you. Yeah, don't criticize when money moving, because it's never going to move to you. When the anointing, this is a good lesson for you. When the anointing came on me 27 years ago, I was assigned by God. I didn't know I was an apostle. But I recognize now that he had called me to be an apostle of finances around the world. God have done so many things supernaturally for me, for you. Mm-hmm. And so I receive, the only reason I receive seed, I receive people's seed because I know they're trying to get somewhere. I remember Revelation. Can I tell you a revelation real quick? I remember Revelation. Creflo Dollar and I was preaching in New Orleans and at an auditorium, and I was meditating in Genesis chapter 12, where God told Abraham, leave his family. You're going to bless him, and whoever bless him, you'll bless him. Whoever curse him, you'll curse him, until all the families of the earth be blessed. And then the Lord told me something. I'm going to tell you something right now. You may be a sower now, but if you keep sowing, you're going to turn into Saul. In other words, like y'all training on me, finally somebody going to train on you if you keep sowing. You follow what I'm saying? God bless you. We love you so much. Leroy, you can close out, son. Yeah. See, because I mess around my son. That's my son preach, you know. I've seen people had somebody to preach, and they come behind and preach behind them. I'm not going to do that. You got it?
Yes, sir.